This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Rise.
It's time to wake on up,
wake up
with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Definitely going back to the playoffs and going further in the playoffs to go versus the Warriors. I want to play the Warriors. I want to get to the Warriors. Wherever they at, I want to get to them.
That's a lot of Warriors.
I mean, because Draymond talks so much trash, that's pretty much the only reason.
Baby, I'm hyped up now. Carter's in the back. He's looking tan. He's back from Jamaica. Shasky looking all dapper. He's having a great day. Beautiful day in the Bay yesterday and today. Shout out Bonta Hill for holding it down. Warriors, T-Wolves. You heard Anthony Edwards right there. He wants the dubs. He wants the smoke. Oh, he's going to get it in Minnesota. Game one, tonight, Western Conference Semis. I'm fired up, baby. Good morning, Joseph.
I love this. This is why we love sports. And, God, Minnesota and the Warriors have so much commonality over the years. So much stuff kind of linking the two of them. And you would think on the surface, like, oh, they've got nothing in common. They have zero history, the Warriors and the Timberwolves. And yet, there's like this whole domino effect, a butterfly effect, if you will, Ashton Kutcher.
Thank you.
And, tonight's going to be a big one. Anthony Edwards is one of the rising stars. Anthony Edwards wants to go through Luka, LeBron, and now Steph and Jimmy Butler to get to a Western Conference Finals. You want to talk about a gauntlet for a young player
right.
to kind of get some pelts on the wall? This is the matchup for him.
Talk about a true passing of the torch too, right? Like, those are the two guys that would have dominated the last two decades in this sport.
Absolutely.
And if Anthony Edwards is able to vanquish LeBron, vanquish Stephen Curry, and get back-to-back Western Conference Finals appearances, and oh, by the way, potentially play the Denver Nuggets again, who take a 1-0 lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Very interesting end of that game. We'll get into it at some point as well. And by the way, can the Warriors keep a trend going tonight? All the road teams have won Game 1 thus far in the series. Nuggets yesterday, the Knicks did it, after the Celtics blew a 20-point lead. They're still missing 3-point shots. 15 of 60? Oh, my God.
Well, Joe, I think
oh my God.
Tonight's an all-hands-on-deck game. And the reason why I say that is clearly this team, with the final 7 minutes to go on Sunday, was completely exhausted.
Yeah.
Their tank was completely empty. And you saw Curry hunched over multiple possessions, or he just couldn't move. And it was probably the smartest strategy to pull the guy face guarding him as far away from the action as possible so that you can make it a 4-on-4 with all of that space. And so I think tonight you go real deep into the bench just because of the exhaustion factor. And I actually like that in a game one. I want to see what works, what's not going to work. And I just did a little deep dive on Minnesota, and this is a team that really went eight deep in the last series against the Lakers. It was a five-game series. You had the same starting five every game. Anthony Edwards, Julius Randle, Jaden McDaniels, Rudy Gobert, and Mike Connolly. Really, they got three guys off the bench, and they'll occasionally, in three of those five games, play Terrence Shannon. I think this favors the Warriors, and I think the depth of the young players off the bench, whether it is Guy Santos for a couple of minutes, maybe you crack open TJD, Kevon Looney. We'll see if GP2 can play today. I think Kuminga, Moody, all of these guys are and should get an opportunity to play tonight.
888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text. We would love your participation today on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Again, same number to call or text. And shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. All brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And as always, we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. I think it's going to be another beautiful day here in the Bay. So why not stop by Laughing Monk? If you're in Sunnyvale, if you're here in San Francisco, go get a drink, go get a brewski, go get some lobster linguine. Why not? Seafood is popping right now. And you just mentioned it. You favor the Warriors in this series. If you're just going by Vegas, because some people get interested in that stuff, currently the Minnesota Timberwolves, this is via DraftKings Sportsbook, -180 to win this series right now. But that's Vegas, but you're feeling pretty good about their chances.
I want you to understand. No, I do not love the Warriors' chances. I like the Timberwolves in six in this game. I'm taking a step back. I don't like the Warriors in this one. I like the Timberwolves in six. And strictly because I think this team is exhausted. And I think there's some injuries and there's some stuff, and they're clearly not playing, you know, their best basketball right now. That's number one. And number two, I don't know how many guys on this team I feel very confident on right now. Now, can things change if you steal one in Minnesota? Absolutely. Absolutely, things can change. But I have real respect for what Minnesota did in that last round, and I think that they're sitting there, and I think they're hungry.
It's a great point, but is it going to be that rest versus rust factor, right? Like, and again, this isn't the NFL. This isn't a couple weeks, right, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs or anything like that. But it's been a few days now, and they're a relatively young squad, albeit experienced, because they did go to the Western Conference Finals last year, obviously falling to the Luka, Dallas Mavericks, and Kyrie Irving. But that being said, this is a team tonight, if you're the Golden State Warriors, if you can steal this one, you got to love your chances in the series. Not just like love them, because everything's stacked against you tonight. Everything's stacked against you. You just have a seven-game series against probably the best defense that was in the playoffs, the Houston Rockets. They took a pound of flesh. Amen Thompson was unbelievable guarding Stephen Curry. I don't know if the Minnesota Timberwolves have a player like an Amen Thompson that is just that much of a freak athletically, albeit the Jaden McDaniels of the world, right? You look at all the Dante DiVincenzos, if he gets his assignment occasionally on him. They have some players. Mike Conley's an old man. Maybe he gets that assignment occasionally. But the fatigue factor tonight, that's what everyone's probably going to be looking at. Like, how tired? Like, you'll know, what, within the first quarter, if this team is going to have the legs or not, right? Second quarter-ish, and if it's going to be a blowout or not.
Like, I love my Warriors.
You do? Yeah.
Steph Curry has not looked right for quite some time. Now, was he dynamic in the second half? Of course he was.
By the way, buddy, I had a chance to talk about the games because I wasn't here yesterday. Buddy Hield. Oh, my God. Could you have not written a better script for Buddy Buckets in Game 7? Continue,
incredible.
Joe.
No, it's incredible. Look, but I also, I just think you have to be, you know, take a step back and, like, let this thing play out. Can I be wrong? Of course I can be wrong. There's multiple times where I picked against the Warriors in the last 10 years and been wrong. I don't love how they look right now. Their form is suspect. Now, once I see the matchups and I can see who can get played and who can't play, and, you know, can they get Rudy Gobert in foul trouble? Like, that's a big question to me. Like, they are going to have to get him out on an island and get him in foul trouble. The one thing this team does do is rebound really well. Mm. With Julius Randle, you know, this is a guy who scored 22 a game in the Lakers series. Yeah. Now, this is a different matchup. But at times, going back to when he was a Laker, to when he was a Knick, he has given the Warriors some fits.
He's a big body. Like, that is a big athletic player that could muscle his way in, and he can get his shot off pretty much whenever he wants. And if his shot is going like it was against the Lakers in that series, that's an X factor, which sounds like kind of crazy, like a starter being a quote-unquote X factor. But he is, because, like, let's face it, when that trade happened, a lot of people, and the trade I'm talking about, obviously, going back to offseason, where it was Karl Anthony Towns heading to New York and Dante DiVincenzo heading to New York as well, then Julius Randle. Check that. Dante DiVincenzo coming back from New York and Julius Randle coming over is with him with the Minnesota Timberwolves. When that trade happened, a lot of people were like, huh, Minnesota, what are you doing? You guys were just in the Western Conference Finals with Karl Anthony Towns, and now you're kind of like blowing it all up? You know, Rudy Gobert, Julius Randle, like, yeah, you got Anthony Edwards still, but I'm not sure about that. Well, it seems like it worked out for both of these squads so far. The Knicks got the win yesterday. Karl Anthony Towns with some big plays late in that one, and now we'll see if the Minnesota Timberwolves could do the same thing tonight, but it's worked out in the playoffs. I had some question marks too with Julius Randle, because as much as we talk about Brandon Belt and like bad body language with players, Julius Randle, first team, all bad body language, no matter what. The guy looks like he's never smiled in his life. He's going to be out there. He, if something is not going his way in a given game, there are some moments where he just like, lumbering. I was like, all right, feeling sorry for himself, like an all shit. All right, well, but in this game tonight and in this series, I'm looking at one player in particular, Draymond Green. Because how can you not, with the history of him in the Stifle Tower, right? All Warriors fans are thinking about it. We just have to go out and say it. It's Rudy Gobert. It's Draymond Green. What the hell is going to happen in this series?
No idea. Right? No idea. I mean, these
and let's be honest, Draymond didn't have his best series. It's probably one of like the worst series he's had I've seen from like a playoff series perspective.
But you could say that maybe Game 7 was one of his best games in years.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying that Game 7 for him, for Buddy Hield, Steph in that fourth quarter, in that second half, incredible, and that's all that anyone's going to remember. But prior to that, it wasn't very good.
Well, I think for me right now, the one area where I'm not confident at all, and the reason why, just today, again, this is how I feel today. We'll see after a game. We'll see after two games or three games. Like, you're always recalibrating. The three-point shot is so important for the Warriors' offense. It's everything. Because of the spacing of Steph Curry, other people have to knock down threes. Mm. That is how they are going to win. And right now, there just aren't a lot of guys I'm very confident in being a consistent threat in 4 out of 7 games. And that's kind of where it comes down to. Now, that being said, Minnesota shot 32% from three in the last series against the Lakers. And it really wasn't a problem for them. But we saw in the Rockets series, the Warriors' inability to defend the three-point line and their inability to get second chance, cut off second chance points for those teams, it really was a dagger to their defense. And it really stymied them. And I don't know if that same thing can apply. Like, guys were better in the series against the Warriors for the Rockets than they were all year in terms of shooting from three.
Right.
Is that going to carry over for Minnesota, who's not the greatest three-point shooting team? You know, does a Jaden McDaniels start hitting from three? Does an Anthony Edwards raise his three-point shooting and become significantly better? They're not the greatest free throw shooting team, right? So you can foul them a little, specifically Gobert, and Anthony Edwards has dipped a little in terms of free throw percentage. He's in the 70s in the playoffs. I wonder where the three-point shots are going to come from the Warriors, because it's so important that guys outside of Steph Curry are confident. And right now, like, Moody's shot is in the abyss. But if he knocks down two or three or four shots in a half, that could change instantly. Confidence is so, you know, it comes and goes.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield, is there some carryover? Can Buddy take that Game 7 and carry that over? And instead of being, like, kind of non-existent for three games, can he have a game or two? That's how you win. That's how you steal a series. That's how you go into Minnesota and take one of these first two. So can Podziemski find a consistent shot? Can Draymond carry over some of that offense? You know, like, these are questions that I have. And that's why, I'm maybe being a little too harsh. I've seen this team and how tired they were and how they sleptwalked through certain games after the exhaustion of that King series a couple of years ago. It felt like it carried over into the Lakers series, and they didn't have their legs in them in the fourth quarter in particular. And that's the thing I'm looking for. Look, again, I can change my opinion. I'm trying to give Minnesota respect here.
No, I hear you. And 888-957-9570, your confidence level heading into tonight's game, game one of the Western Conference semis. And we're going to have all that coverage right here on 95.7 The Game, starting at 5:30 with Warriors Live. And it'll be leading you up to the game at 6:30 tip-off. Again, Tim Roy will be on the call alongside Tom Tolbert right here on 95.7 The Game. And then after the game, we got Grandy, we got Giddings, we're breaking it all down. No place else you would rather be when it comes to Golden State coverage than right here on 95.7 The Game. So to your point, when it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves and this matchup, and you brought up a couple years ago, you know, it took a miraculous Stephen Curry game in Game 7 in Sacramento to beat the Kings. And they were exhausted. The difference in that one for me was you were at home and you were hosting the Lakers, and that's how it hurt even more then when you lost that game one. Because the Lakers didn't care at that. After they won game one, they laid an egg in game two because they knew that, okay, we stole home court. We're going to win at our place. And the Lakers that season were like damn near unbeatable at Staples Center then, or Crypto.com, whatever the hell it was. But this is a little different because you're on the road tonight. So you do have a game two in the back pocket to say, hey, okay, maybe we don't have it early tonight. They run away with it. Tired legs. We rest. We get another day and a half, and then we come back. I don't think that's, like, again, we're talking about game one. We're hyping it up. I think people will be disappointed, but you could live with that whole mindset, if you will. It's like, okay, we're going to take it on the chin this one, and then we can come back in game two. Because you are on the road. That is the big difference to me, comparing it from a couple seasons ago in Sacramento.
Yeah, I go in the other direction.
Really?
I think the young players, it's imperative. Look, you came out of the Rocket series, and it felt like, oh, we didn't trust a lot of guys. I think this starts a whole new page, a whole new book, and I would open it up, and I would give, especially considering there's a tax. The reality is there's an emotional and physical tax of coming out of a 7-game series. Mm. It is real. That doesn't mean you can't steal a game on the road. But I think it's incumbent on them to find other people on that bench who can be contributors. And for Steve Kerr to have a quick memory eraser and say, hey, it doesn't matter what happened before. Moses Moody, I know that you haven't, you know, played really well in the series prior. This is a brand new series, brand new opportunities. Jonathan Kuminga, I know you haven't looked great, but maybe I give you a couple of minutes. Gui Santos, maybe I give you a couple of minutes. I think they need to search to find guys who fit this matchup, this game, and I think game one on the road, where you're not going to probably play Steph 42 minutes. You're just probably not. Like, I don't know if Jimmy's going to play 42 minutes tonight. Like, you're probably not. This is the game to kind of tinker, and I'm not saying you're not throwing it. No, I think I'm trying to find energy. I'm trying to find some found money from a couple of buckets. The guy I'm circling as the guy tonight, that's the kind of the key, Brandon Pajemski, because I think he's going to get a lot of wide open looks. And if he could knock down some threes, now I'm totally changing my perspective.
Well, he was the only guy in that game seven, right? Not to hit the double figure scoring. He was struggling to find a shot. And that's there's a pressure packed atmosphere there in Houston in game seven. Hell, the guy's his second year. This is his first action in the playoffs. I'm not expecting him to be, you know, guns a blazing all the time, but can we get a pods game tonight?
I'm quietly confident in him.
I think he's not even quietly confident in himself.
No,
God loves himself.
But I think what I learned from that last series is that as the series went on, he didn't shy. He didn't shy away.
No.
If you watch game seven, look, he missed shots down the stretch, but he rose to the moment. And it reminds me, again, he's a different player. Like when Jordan Poole, at the end of that 2021 season, okay, where they lost the play-in, nobody wanted to shoot. And Jordan Poole wanted to shoot. Now, he didn't hit shots down the stretch. But the confidence that showed me is, dude, this guy's not going
to
back down.
No, he tried
and
to yam
the ball's going
to
be in his hands. He's going to get good looks. He's going to play off of Steph Curry spacing. And to me, I think that there's a lot of good, positive carryover for Brandon Pajemski. He is the big key tonight. I really do. I think they're going to guard him with Connolly, and I think he's going to cook Connolly.
888-957-9570. We're going to pick this up on the other side. It's Warriors-Timberwolves game one tonight. Western Conference semis. Let's talk about it all. We'll preview the series. We'll preview the game. We're going to do all of it. We're going to do it with Nick Friedell, 720, our Odyssey NBA insider.
Knows Minnesota inside and out. Covered them for multiple years during the Jimmy Butler era.
Oh, yeah, and he is very aware with one Jimmy Butler, obviously. And then all DeAnthony Edwards' angle in all of this. Hey, there was a moment where we were talking about Anthony Edwards. Could he have been a Golden State Warrior? Yeah. And obviously, Steve Kerr talked about it. Steve Kerr coached him with the Olympic team. All of that baked into it. So we'll discuss that angle, the Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green, all of it. And plus, Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider, joining us at 8:30. So we got Friedell, we got Slater, It's Spadoni. It's Chasky. It's Carter. It's Lubman. It is. He's out there. He's got the flow going. And it's brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
Turn any moment into something sweeter. There are endless options to choose from to show her she's the best. Hurry. Save 20 to 40% on select apparel, jewelry, chocolates, and more this Mother's Day only at Target. Restrictions apply.
And you're listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game with Joe and Joe.
I don't know why that one makes me laugh so much. Joe and Joe. It is. Or Joseph or Joseph, whatever you want to call us. Spadoni and Chasky. We're rocking and rolling. Game one tonight. Warriors, T-Wolves. They advance. So I'm sure yesterday, and shout out Bonte Hill again for holding it down. Much appreciated, Bonte Hill, crushing it as always. I'm sure that oh baby felt very good yesterday morning, opening up the show. Buddy Hield, Steph, Jimmy, Draymond. That's championship grit and mentality. Now, part of a championship is that's great. You did it in round one. I'll do it again, right?
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And they have an opportunity to do it, and this is a better team than the Houston Rockets. The Minnesota Timberwolves were in the Western Conference Finals last year. This isn't a young and up-and-coming quote-unquote team. No, this team is here right now, and their expectation is to get to the NBA Finals and win it. That is their goal. I don't think that was the goal of the Houston Rockets. They might say it in the locker room, but they're not a championship-level team. This is a championship-level team you're going up against with championship potential players in one Anthony Edwards. We know what Naz Reid's done in the past. Say what you will about Rudy Gobert, the guy's pretty damn good.
The question on Rudy Gobert is, you know, can the Warriors get him into the action?
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Because that's kind of been the bugaboo for them in the playoffs.
For sure.
Is him out on the perimeter. So I guess my number one question with Gobert, and I'll let you finish the entire point, but is he going to be the one guarding Draymond Green, sagging off, so that he can be the help defender? Or is he going to be the one guarding someone else who might be the corner three guy, like let's say a Moses Moody or whatever? Like that, to me, is where I start as I'm breaking down half-court offense for the Warriors in the first quarter and in the fourth quarter at the end of games. Is Gobert the primary guy guarding Draymond Green, or do they employ a smaller player and sag off of him? Is Gobert the helper, essentially?
Well, it's going to be interesting, right? Because in the game five where they took care of business, and again, they've had 6 days of rest, the Minnesota Timberwolves. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they come out tonight with all that rest. They took care of business last Wednesday. Remember when the Warriors were also up 3-1 with the potential to do that? They couldn't get it done, and it trickled all the way down into Sunday, and they're only going to have a day and a half's rest heading into tonight. But the T-Wolves have been resting because they took care of business against the Los Angeles Lakers in five games. And in that game, 27 points and 24 rebounds for Rudy Gobert. Insanity in that game. And oh, by the way, you mentioned a three-point shot for them not being very good. They shot 7 of 47 from beyond the arc in that game and won by 7. It's incredible. The Lakers were also just that poor, like a size matchup for them. And Jackson Hayes didn't get any run in that game, and it showed why that Rudy Gobert dominated. So the size problem, again, how much is that going to be a factor in this one? Because that was a factor in the Rockets series. The size and athleticism of the young Houston Rockets caused fits. Steven Adams was an X factor a lot. Not so much in Game 7, but for most of that series, he was incredible. So much so that you were saying during the series, can we just get this guy on our team right now?
It'd be great.
You still want him now, yeah.
For the rest of his career, I want him to be a Warrior.
So
if I never see Fred VanVleet again, I'll be happy.
Well, yeah, right. And I don't think Jimmy Butler wants to see him at all either after that kind of Bush League shove that he had towards the end, that frustration shove, if you will. So the Rudy Gobert and the size factor of the Minnesota Timberwolves is going to be another one. And let's call it what it is. They're a better offensive team than the Houston Rockets. They just are.
Yes.
I don't need to see any numbers to back it up. No. Minnesota Timberwolves have Anthony Edwards, who could be en fuego on any single night. They have Julius Randle, same thing, who can get his shot off whenever he wants. Jaden McDaniels can be lethal from beyond the arc.
McDaniels scored 17 a game in the Lakers series.
There you go. Like and I know Dante DiVincenzo, Dante 3 Vincenzo, because this time here at Golden State. Thank you. He's a Paisan. I love the guy. All right, loved him since his Villanova days.
He's an Italian.
We know he can get hot. He was not great from the shooting in the Lakers series for the most part. He was 2-12 in that game 5, but he's going to play tenacious defense.
Yes.
He's going to get in your face, mm-hmm. and he's going to make winning plays. Because we saw that when push came to shove here in Golden State. So 888-957-9570 is the number. I would love any and all contributions to this game tonight and in the series. How are we feeling about it overall, Dub Nation?
I'm super fired up for it. Man. I love the chess match. So let's go first quarter lineup Warriors. We know the Minnesota Timberwolves, 99% of the time, are going to go McDaniels, Conley, Ant-Man, Julius Randle, and Gobert. That's their starting five.
Yes.
Let's ask the question. It's Steph, it's Butler, it's Dre. Is it Buddy? Is it Pods?
I mean, you got to stick with Buddy, right?
I agree.
I think you got to stick with Buddy.
What about Pods?
I think you're sticking with Pods.
Too. I do too. Okay.
Those are all your most, at this point, your consistent scores.
So, if you're the Timberwolves, who on our starting five is guarding Steph Curry to start the game? Ooh. I would assume Jaden and McDaniels.
Yeah, probably. That's the guy. That's still the guy you're circling, right?
Okay.
That's still,
so, yeah. All right. Who's guarding Jimmy Butler? I think that they're going to go Julius Randle. I think they're going to go
a bigger body guy. Yeah.
I think they're going to do what the Miami Heat did, which was put the bigger body guy on him and sag off him and basically give him anything he wants in the perimeter. Do we agree?
Yes.
Okay. So Randle on Butler, McDaniels on Steph. Pods, I believe Connolly will be the one guarding Pods.
Yeah.
Okay. Buddy Hield. I think Ant-Man will be guarding Buddy Hield.
Yes.
Okay.
But Anthony Edwards, at times, he might take on the assignment of a Steph or a Jimmy Butler.
There's no doubt he will.
Well, because
I'm talking about to start the game.
Obviously, because, and as we know, defenses today, everything's switching. It's all about switching,
sure.
Trying to find the right matchup. So, and that's what makes this Minnesota team so good, is because they have such good switching ability on this starting five.
But I think if I go back to the Rockets series, because of seven-game game planning, the biggest part of that series and what flipped it in game 7, they were daring Draymond Green to be an offensive threat early in that game, and they were going to sag off him. They were going to use a smaller player. They were going to allow their bigs to be able to roam, all right? And so that's why Draymond, to me, is the most important. He's the trigger man at the top of the key, right? And that's why I want to know who they're guarding. It's got to be Gobert on Dre.
Yes.
He's going to be that way he's allowed to roam and help and rim protect, and then that would put Ant on Buddy Hield. And so what I'm trying to do early in this game is the Jimmy Dre pick and roll, the Steph Dre pick and roll, to bring Gobert out of the key and force him up top. Now I have a 4-on-3 advantage, and this is where I think Draymond, Pods, and the ball movement, all of that's going to be imperative, and the three-point shooting. Because once you get the ball into the paint, what do the Warriors want to do? They don't want to dunk. They want to kick it back out to three-pointers. So that's where Pods is a catch-and-shoot guy, Buddy as a catch-and-shoot guy, and Jimmy and Dre as facilitators. I think this is a fascinating chess match.
And then when that happens, what more often than not, what do the T-Wolves do? They'll go small. They'll go Naz Reid. That's five. And Naz Reid, as we've mentioned,
that sucker.
Yeah, thank you, Priest. Like that's how Warriors fans feel about him. This guy, again, and when he's knocking down threes, he just changes that whole entire team and the dynamic of that team. And a guy I'm not going to sleep on, a guy that could be another huge difference in this series, it's not a household name because he's got three names. It's Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
He's a good defender.
He's a great defender at times. And he's got some size. He's 6'5". He's long. He can knock down the three ball. He's going to chuck up a lot of them. That's another guy. Like, as we're talking about like closing lineups, because we can talk about the starting lineups all we want. Like, could it be Alexander-Walker? Could it be Naz Reid? Because if Rudy Gobert, like we all think he might be played out of the series at times, they could pivot to the bench because they got a very deep bench here in the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were shrinking it a little bit because they got the old man Joe Ingles still out there, right? They got the Luka Garzas, but really they want to keep it pretty tight, 8 or maybe 9, but mostly 8. Naz Reid, Dante DiVincenzo, and Alexander-Walker off the bench.
There's so many different ways that the Warriors can attack them. But I keep coming back to, it is incumbent that the other guys outside of Steph Curry hit three-point shots. It's I hate dumbing it down to the three ball because it makes me like sound like I'm no, but like this team and the way they play ball, Pods hits a couple, Moody hits a couple, Buddy hits a couple. It flips the game. It flips the game for them.
It flipped the game yesterday if you just watched the New York Knicks or the Denver Nuggets. Aaron Gordon hitting threes changes the Nuggets team, does it not? If Michael Porter Jr. Aaron Gordon, we've seen it firsthand at Chase Center when Aaron Gordon balled out. You know, Mikal Bridges could have hit anything. Could have hit water, he fell out of boat. Massive three-pointer in overtime yesterday.
Yes.
Like, other guys are going to have to step up, not named and Stephen Curry, not named Buddy Hield, and could Podziemski be one of that? Hell, I mean, Buddy Hield be consistent, right? That's another question mark in all of this.
Look, Buddy's now playing with house money, right?
Right, like, there's no doubt. Too.
Now, this team, when he's hitting, they're almost unbeatable.
Yeah.
If he's scoring 15 or more, like, we know what the record is. They're phenomenal. God, I'm rooting for Moses Moody to find a shot because I do think he's a really important player in this series. He's a guy that might have opportunities on Anthony Edwards, you know, because of his defense. And I actually thought he played a better series than the box score would indicate. Moody made some hustle plays. The problem was is that he didn't hit anything from the outside. And when you're relegated to being a catch-and-shoot guy and you're going to move off ball, but they're playing two bigs in the block, he didn't score a lot. And I think we look at a lot of these bench players as like, well, do you score? Well, are you bringing other elements to the game? I thought Moody did, but he didn't score. And so, obviously, Steve Kerr put him back on the bench. They were looking for scoring. They needed scoring. And they needed punch in that series. I think this series might be a little different. I think you're going to have more offensive balance from the Warriors. But you're looking for guys to defend Anthony Edwards. So, GP2, if he's healthy. Moses Moody, if he's healthy. Maybe Jimmy for an occasional possession or two. Jonathan Kuminga. I think it's an all-hands-on-deck, let's throw the kitchen sink at Anthony Edwards defensive philosophy.
We got Nick Friedel, our Odyssey NBA insider, tapped in on all things Minnesota Timberwolves as well, and obviously the Golden State Warriors from his time with ESPN when he covered this team inside and out. And, you know, there's a lot of history between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors. Going back to that Wiggins trade, going back to when Stephen Curry was drafted, and the T-Wolves had not one but two opportunities to draft him.
Insane.
And they took two other point guards, obviously, a Ricky, a Rubio.
Oh, no.
And Johnny Flynn. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Johnny Flynn was legit at Syracuse.
Stop.
Yeah, just saying, he was a good player.
Yeah, Nick Friedel will tell you the same thing. Syracuse grad at 7:20, and then Anthony Slater at 8:30, our Warriors insider for The Athletic, to get his thoughts on the series as well. It's Spadoni, it's Chasky. We're rolling, baby, on the Morning Roast, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
They captured a moment, and you'll see it used in a lot of different movies where, like, you'll have a helicopter flying into Vietnam or whatever.
Sure.
And, yeah, and so, like, I'm just thinking about the Gobert versus Draymond Green war campaign that's going on right now.
The Stifle Tower again. Is it going to be Jimmy Butler going ham against his former team? Jimmy Butler was a Minnesota Timberwolf. There's a lot of cross connections with both of these franchises, and it finally is going to culminate in this playoff series against them.
Like, so, obviously, Jimmy has his history when Thibodeau was the coach there.
Yep.
And he...
Tibbs, by the way, I was watching the game yesterday. Sorry, not to cut you off in your tangent. Tibbs has actually... Honestly, he's looked the same the last 15-plus years. And the amount of... The little hair that he has left on his head has somehow stayed the same. So, shout out Tibbs.
Homer Simpson.
The big Knicks win yesterday in the Garden.
Jimmy Butler played for him there and obviously had... You know, the Andrew Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns situation at practice with the Rolex, where Jimmy showed up, played in a Rolex, and I believe with all the backups, like, we'll get the whole story from right. Nick Friedel, but kicked the crap out of all the starters with all the backups. And it's a very infamous story that has been told all over the land for the last, what, 7-8 years regarding Jimmy Butler. So obviously he has stuff. We referenced the Steph stuff where they had an opportunity to take not just Steph Curry once. They could have took him twice, and they took two other point guards ahead of him, literally the two picks before. There's the whole Andrew Wiggins trade, D'Angelo Russell. You know, the Warriors during the Kevin Durant era, Kevin leaves. They get D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell was best friends with Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns wanted him on the team. The Warriors knew this kind of preemptively, of course, according to Anthony Slater. And when they acquired D'Angelo, they had their hearts set on moving him because they got something back for KD, not nothing. And in an attempt to keep Karl Anthony Towns and have him re-sign there, Minnesota was like, hey, we'll swing a deal for your friend D'Angelo Russell. Not only did the Warriors get Andrew Wiggins, they got a draft pick out of it.
I have the quote here. This is going back 7 years ago, back to 2018, in regards to Jimmy Butler and that whole story you're talking about. There's a quote in there that I love, and it just, I think this speaks to who Jimmy Butler is and his mindset as a player and a person. And this is what he told Rachel Nichols, who was then ESPN at the time. Yeah. Obviously, him and Rachel Nichols, they have a relationship when it comes to, you know, the ingress, egress of a journalist. Quote, stop. Quote, this is Jimmy Butler. And this was after the entire thing that went down at practice when he was going hard at them. So back in 2018, quote, am I being tough on him, Karl Anthony Towns? Yeah, that's who I am. I'm not the most talented player on the team. Who is the most talented player on our team? Cat. Who is the most God-gifted player on our team? Wiggs. Who plays the hardest? Me. Oh, wow. I play hard. I put my body on the line every day in practice, every day in games. That's my passion. Everybody leads in different ways. That's how I show I'm here for you. So that was like
a hell of a quote.
So he was basically calling them out and saying, you guys are better than me. Like, you have more talent than me, but you're not going to outwork me, and you could get on my level. And that's kind of that Mamba mentality. That's what Kobe always did. He didn't respect other people that had, he saw talent in them, but they never worked as hard as he did. So that's why in games, he didn't trust them. That's what it goes back to. And you can go back to, if that's a selfish mindset, that's not trusting your teammates. But how could, and that's how Jimmy felt, how could I trust you if you're not willing to give it your all in practice? If you're not going to do what I do every single day when I don't have as much talent as you, much God-given talent as you guys, I'm going to work harder than you. You're not going to even try to step up to my level. Yeah, I don't respect you then. And that's just who he is.
So with no Karl Anthony Towns, is that residue still there? Probably not with the players.
And no Wiggs, obviously. Yeah.
But with the fans, you know, you scorn me, I'm going to remember forever. Like if I say, and it's to a much lesser degree, but if I say Kelly Oubre, you get a lot of eye rolls from Warrior fans.
Yes.
Right? Like you just do. You flat out do. And so I'm going to assume every time he touches the ball, he'll get a nice round of boos. But we're going to talk to Nick Friedell at some point. What, at 7 o'clock hour?
7:20, Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Cousin Nick Friedell, you know him, you love him. One of the greatest laughs in the history of the station. I got like a bunch of them. I'll play them here. You say, there's one.
He'll give us a good feel for how Jimmy Butler will be perceived in this entire series.
Yes.
I'm interested for that. Then there's like a Dante DiVincenzo angle where the Warriors a couple years ago made a deal to get rid of James Wiseman. We'll get to Wiseman in a second. And they got GP2 back. And when they got GP2 back, it felt like Dante DiVincenzo had his entire role cut in half. And he felt really diminished, I believe, once they acquired GP2. And we get it. Like, GP2 is kind of a beloved guy between Steph and Dre and Kerr. You know, Kerr trusts him and loves him and whatnot. He's one of the trusted agents.
Mm-hmm.
And DiVincenzo, I think, felt some kind of way. But I also feel like I don't know what Dante would have expected. He was on the mid-level exception. The Warriors could only offer him so much because once you're on that mid-level exception, you can't just give them anything they want in free agency because of the really specific CBA rules. He was probably a one-and-done player. Now, I liked him much more than GP2,
yes.
But I also understood there were certain matchups where GP2 fit a little better. I love DiVincenzo, but I still think that there's a little bit of bitterness between him and the Warriors, and that's kind of been reported off and on. Bonte was alluding to it yesterday. Mm-hmm. That is an interesting angle that's kind of like a sub-subplot, but he's a guy that I think is really important for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
There's so many angles in this matchup. That's why it's so fun, and there's the star power, too. Let's be honest. Like, Anthony Edwards, if he knocks out LeBron James and then Stephen Curry, like, yeah, face of the league is definitely a possibility. I know we talk about face of the league. Like, you can't create the face of the league. No. That is something that you just earn, and it's not media-driven. It's not. It just happens. And this guy has the personality. He has the playing style. He's going to talk that talk. He's going to give you all the quotes. He is must watch TV, and post-game interview. And let's not get it twisted. There was an opportunity a couple years ago, well, not a couple years now, 5 years ago, whatever it was, when the Warriors, hey, they had a draft pick, high draft pick, number two overall. Was Anthony Edwards going to be a real possibility potentially for them? Well, Anthony Edwards recalls a time that Steve Kerr said the Warriors wouldn't take him.
I was going through the drills and he kept stopping them like, that's all you got, that's all you got. And I'm like, bro, I'm going hard as you want me to go. Like, what you want me to do? I'm sweating crazy. He like, man, you got to see Steph and KD and Klay work out. And we went to dinner that night. And they still was continuously telling me, like, you didn't work hard enough. Like, if we had the number one pick, we wouldn't take you. And I was just like, damn, that's crazy. So me and my trainer ran home after dinner, and we just talking like, bro, we got to pick it up. I don't know how. I don't know what we got to do. Like, but we got to pick it up. And I think after that, man, it's just I became a madman in the gym. And, like, I try to work to I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
Look at Steve Kerr motivating a young player. Do you guys say he can't develop talent? Come on.
So the Timberwolves, this is after the 15-50 season for the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
where they, you know, Steph hurt his hand and Klay was out for the entire year and KD left. And it was the pandemic. Minnesota gets the number one pick and the Warriors have the number two pick. And this is from Anthony Slater's Athletic article this morning.
2020 NBA draft.
There's some dispute and fuzzy recollection on the negotiation tactics deployed in the lead-up, but both teams certainly tested the waters to see what was out there. The Warriors, league sources said, had conversations about trading up, trading back, and even the lone trade-up possibility, which would be Minnesota, before ultimately deciding to stick it too. Now, this is the part that I find the most interesting. The Warriors never believed the Timberwolves would take Wiseman with the first pick, and because of that, didn't feel any internal incentive to trade up. Wiseman was the top player on their board, and even if they moved to one, they would have selected him over Edwards. Warriors owner Joe Lacob, certainly a Wiseman proponent, but team sources have always maintained it was consensus selection from ownership to Bob Myers, to Kerr, to the veteran players who were consulted and approved of a swing for the center of the future. That, to me, is the most incredible line of them all. Everybody wants to pin Wiseman on Bob or pin Wiseman on Lacob. The fact that Anthony Slater put it in print that there was consensus on Kerr and the veteran players, and we know who he's talking about. He's talking about Steph and Dre and Klay. That's who he's talking about.
Yes.
The fact that they all were in consensus on taking Wiseman, I'm throwing my hands up. Now, I think it's really easy today to sit here and say, well, duh, Anthony Edwards. Yeah, but I remember doing all those COVID shows
coming
from home.
Coming out of Georgia.
Leading up to the draft, okay? I remember them. And there were a lot of concerns. And it sounds dumb now. Trust me. In retrospect, what I'm